I'd like to read first of all this evening from the Psalms, number 73. Psalm number 73, verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are of a pure heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the arrogant, seeing the prosperity of the wicked. Then the last verse of the same psalm. But as for me, it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord Jehovah, that I may declare all thy works. Now I'd like to read from the prophet Habakkuk. And you'll find the page that I want to read from is 1122. Habakkuk in the last chapter and verse 17. For though the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labour of the olive tree shall fail, and the fields shall yield no food. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in Jehovah. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Finally, a verse at the end of John's Gospel. John's Gospel in chapter 21 and verse 20. Peter, turning round, sees the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also leaned at supper on his breast and said, Lord, who is it that delivers thee up? Peter, seeing him, says to Jesus, Lord, and what of this man? Jesus says to him, if I will that he abide until I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. It's a wonderful privilege to speak of the grace of God and to present the gospel, especially in a day when there is so much darkness in the world around and where so many sorrows mark the scene that we're in. But the wonderful thing is that the love of God is still being proclaimed in the gospel. Here we are, 2,000 years or more since our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. And the same gospel message is still being preached to us to tell us of the love of God. When you think of the way in which God's beloved Son was rejected and scorned and mocked, and the way in which the cry from the crowd was, his blood be upon us and upon our children. And yet still, the message of God's grace goes out tonight. What does that tell you? Doesn't it tell you that the God with whom we have to do is a God whose patience and love knows no bounds? A God whose love is limitless. And a God whose love in 2015 is towards you and me. I thank God for my Saviour and for the love that he has shown to me. But in the gospel, he's making it known for all of us, to whosoever will. The events in the world have not taken God by surprise. There's hardly a person in the world who will not be aware of the atrocities of the past few weeks. But God has not been taken by surprise by them. Men are just drifting through day by day, having no thought of God. And God allows things in the lives of men as wake-up calls to speak to their hearts. A day is coming when mercy's door is going to close. And thousands are just drifting towards it. and they don't care. And God, in his goodness, is speaking to men to warn them of their need to have to do with him. You know, by my bedside at night, I've got an alarm clock, and sometimes I set it. And when the alarm goes off in the morning, I have two options. One is that I can get out of bed, or the other is that I can choose to ignore it. Many of you know, hear the wake-up call, and what will they do? Will they stay where they are? Also on my alarm clock, I've got another little button that says snooze. And if I press that, I get another 9 minutes. Dear friends, how many tonight are pressing the snooze button and delaying having to do with a Saviour God whose love is behind all that is happening in the world today, though men may not see it? But it's a wake-up call to the truth of Judgment Day that is coming upon this scene. When the opportunity to hearken to the gospel will have passed forever. Many of us, many persons in the world today will have no opportunity to reflect upon the number of times that they pressed that button on the clock. And the time of opportunity is past. And no longer can they answer to the gospel. You see what it says in our hymn that we sang at the beginning. What will it profit thy soul unless 'tis relied on by thee? And persons go on and they drift on in their ambitions. We were speaking about them this afternoon. In a day to come, there will be no ambition. There will not need to be. For Christ will have his rightful place. But men continue today, and God is speaking to their hearts because they need to have to do with a Saviour God before it's too late. I've read from these scriptures today because they speak to us of the need of each person individually to have to do with a Saviour. Here's the psalmist here. It's a psalm of Asaph. And he admits when he starts the psalm and he says, truly God is good to Israel, to such as are of a pure heart. Do you know, it's even the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. And that's where you and I have got to start. That when we hear the gospel, it's not just a case of saying, oh well, I'll listen for half an hour. I've heard it before, but I'll listen again. It's a case of what have you done with the message of God's grace? What have you done with the Saviour of his providing? What have you done with the appeal of his love? Have you made it your own? For even Asaph here says, but as for me, but as for me. How about you? Where do you stand in your relationship with God? Or you say, I acknowledge that God is good. Indeed he is. But that doesn't go far enough. Asaph goes on in his psalm to say, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. You know, it was yesterday morning. We looked out of the window, and with this cold snap of weather, suddenly we discovered that the rain had turned to snow. Not something you'd expect, perhaps, at this time of year, but then the unexpected often happens. He says here, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Oh, what a reminder it is, you know. Are your feet slipping? Perhaps you know the Christian way. Perhaps you know the path that you ought to go. But are your feet slipping? He says, my feet were almost gone. Perhaps some of us have known that in our history. Some of us that are older have known what it is for our feet to be almost gone. Almost slipped when the unexpected happened. But for God's grace. But how about you? Like Asaph, I want you to say tonight, honestly, to yourself, but as for me. I don't know where you stand in your relationship with God. You know, and God knows. And tonight the appeal of his grace is to you. Because the way of salvation is open to whosoever will, but it's by way of repentance and coming to the feet of the Saviour in the acknowledgement of your sins and asking him for his forgiveness. And that involves the acceptance of the truth that your feet have almost slipped. Oh, friend, will you come to Jesus tonight and own him as the Saviour who is able to keep you firm and sure, is able to give you the certainty of a hope of a heavenly home, the assurance of forgiveness of sins, the precious blood that was shed at Calvary that's able to wash those sins away. And give you certainty and assurance for time and for eternity. He says, I was envious at the arrogant, seeing the prosperity of the wicked. Sometimes it's like the world is topsy-turvy, isn't it? You see persons who do things that you know are wrong, and you see them prospering, and you wonder why, and you ask, why does God allow it? God allows it so that you might realize that there's something far greater for you than the ambitions that this world can offer you. There's something far greater than man can give. It's the wonder of the knowledge of a Savior and the truth of the fact that tonight in the gospel it's available to you. Where are you in your links with God? He knows, and so do you, and tonight the appeal is to your heart. The wake-up call has gone out in the world, and maybe there will be more, who knows? But wake up to the truth that you need personally to have to do with the Saviour, or you will be forever lost. Scripture tells us, doesn't it, that we are all sinners. Not one righteous, no, not one. All men have sinned, it says, and come short of the glory of God. And you know the wages of sin? Is death. Some have known what it is for death to come upon them suddenly, unexpectedly. Remember this, that the wages of sin is death. And death has passed upon all men. May we all come truly to the acceptance of our place as sinners before God and find in him a Saviour that's able to meet our every need. Now we get good advice. As Asaph finishes his psalm, this is what he tells us. But as for me, I love those words. They challenge my heart and they encourage my heart. But as for me, it is good for me to draw near to God. That's what the gospel has in view, that you should draw near to God. Do you know, one thing the gospel preacher can tell you is that God has drawn near to you. He's drawn near to you in his beloved Son. He's drawn near to you at the cross, when the one who gave his life for you suffered and died upon Calvary's cross. He was establishing a basis by which he could draw near to you. You think of Bartimaeus that we spoke of this afternoon. And it says there in the scripture that Jesus was passing by and he stood still. You think of that, Jesus passing by tonight. That's what the gospel is. It's like Jesus passing by and Jesus standing still. Jesus who would say to you, "What would you that I would do to you?" And Bartimaeus says, "Oh, that I might see." Well, friend, have you seen the light of the gospel? Have you seen the love of the Saviour? Have you seen him? The one who's able to meet your every need. Tonight, can you say like Asaph, "It's good for me to draw near to God"? Are you prepared to draw near to God tonight? You know, you can come just as you are in all your sins. You can trust him and know that he is able to deal with every sin you've ever committed. He's able to wipe the slate completely clean, as though there was never anything written upon it. And more than that, the work of Jesus can remove not only the writing on the slate, but he can remove the memory of the sins as well. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more forever. The truth of justification, all possible through the precious work of Jesus. No credit to you, but all glory to the one who suffered and died at Calvary's cross to open the way of salvation to the likes of you and me. You know, he's a wonderful Saviour, isn't he? He says here, "I've put my trust in the Lord Jehovah." That's what he says. Have you done that? Have you put your trust in the Lord Jehovah? Have you trusted him for the completeness of that work that was accomplished on Calvary's cross? Do you hear those words upon the cross? "It is finished." Three words. It is finished. The work of Jesus, completing everything to the will of God. And God is satisfied with all that has been done. Won't you trust him? Asaph did. "I have put," not "I will," not "I'm thinking about it," but "I have put my trust in the Lord Jehovah." I want you to do that tonight. I want you to put your trust in this wonderful Saviour. Because he's done everything that God required him to do. And all you need to do is to lay hold of it and make it your own. And he says that I may declare all thy works. You know what happens? When you trust this wonderful Saviour, when you know what it is for your sins to be washed away, that you want to praise him for all that he's done. You want to thank him for what he's done for you. But that's only the start. Because you can praise him for all that he's done. You can give glory to him for all that he is. A Saviour God who has stooped so low from glory's highest height and stooped even to the cross so that you might be saved and you might be blessed. So, Asaph says, but as for me, can you say it too? And we come to Habakkuk. Such an interesting prophecy as Habakkuk is, only a short one. But here is a man who saw what we see today in the world. He saw the violence of men. He saw the oppression and the affliction of the people of God. And he says to God at the beginning of the prophecy, he says to him, why is this, God? How long, he says, shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Perhaps there are many tonight, you know, as a result of what has happened in the world, as a result of those wake-up calls that God has allowed, who are saying tonight, how long shall I cry and I will not hear? Friend, God is hearing. God is watching. God's love for souls has not ceased. God is working in order that men might have to do with him, in order that there might be that turning in repentance to himself. Men may be praying and crying out to God that things might be improved, that things will settle down, that the world will be a happier place than it is today. But I tell you this, dear friend, on the authority of Scripture, that the world will not be a happier place until the King of Kings and Lord of Lords takes up his rights upon it. When the Prince of Peace himself is here. Oh, that's when this world will be a happier place. When the love of God will cover this earth as the waters cover the sea. But Habakkuk came to the conclusion at the end that nothing had changed. All these things that are listed here, the fig tree still hasn't blossomed. Still no fruit in the vines. And the labour that's been put into the olive trees has failed and the fields are yielding no fruit. Nothing's changed. Ah, yes it has. Something's changed. Habakkuk's changed. He's changed from appealing to God at the start of his prophecy to say, when will you hear? His heart has changed. He's come to know God. And he says, even though none of these things that I wanted to change have changed, yet I am going to rejoice in the God of my salvation. I love this prophecy because I am often tested by the fact that the things that I pray for don't change. Some things that I have earnestly prayed for on behalf of other persons and things haven't changed. But through that test to my faith, I have learnt this: to trust in the God of my salvation and to rejoice in him, because I know he does all things well. And I commend this to you tonight, that you might know what it is for yourself. Not only to trust him as Asaph did, and to come in repentance to him as Asaph did, but also to rejoice in him, even though circumstances haven't turned out just the way you wanted them to be. Yet you can trust the God of your salvation, because you know that he does all things well. And not only trust him, but you can rejoice in him too. That's what Habakkuk did. Can you? It's not always easy. In fact, it's never easy. But one thing you can know is this: that God is faithful and God is true, and God will be with you through to the end if you'll just trust in him for whatever lies ahead. When I come to John's Gospel, the message there is, follow me. And Peter here was being tested. Sometimes the Lord does test us, you know. Peter was offended because the Lord had asked him three times, lovest thou me? How about if the Lord asked you that question tonight? What would you say? Perhaps like Peter, you would say, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I am attached to thee. But then if he came back again and he said to you, lovest thou me? And perhaps you could say, Lord, you know how many meetings I've been to, how good I am at attending. You know I pray every day before I go to sleep at night. You know I read my Bible. And then he would come back the third time and he would say, lovest thou me? Now what is he saying? Why is he asking this third time, lovest thou me? For each one of us, would we be offended? Would we say to him, like Peter, Lord, thou knowest that I am attached to thee? Yes, he does know. He knows whether you're attached to him or not. But if you are, hear his words. Follow me. Just two words. Not a lot for Peter to take in. Not a long address. Not a long gospel. I'm nearly finished. But just two words. Follow me. If the Lord is challenging your heart tonight, don't be like Peter and say, Lord, what of this man? It's easy, isn't it, to deflect a question to somebody else. Even to think that when the gospel's preached, that it applies to the person who's sitting next to you or behind you. Much more appropriate to them, isn't it? No, he says, follow me. Don't have to be old to follow the Lord, you know. Many of us who are older wish we'd started long before we did. But tonight, in the gospel. The appeal of his love is towards you. And his appeal in his love is that you, as believing on him, might answer to that call, follow me. Will you make these things your own? Will you rely upon these things yourself? Will you follow in the pathway that the glad tidings sets out for you? The gospel of divine grace is appealing to you tonight. Will you answer to it? Says, if thou wouldst live unto God, that's what's involved in following him, living unto God by faith, thou must make it your own. Will you do so tonight? The appeal of the gospel is for each one of us to answer to. Each one of us has that responsibility. I accept it now and know the joy of being committed to the Saviour throughout your life. May God bless the world for his name's sake.